You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay. Millie.
Hey there, welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, and we want to thank you for joining us here after the Boston Celtics beat the Miami Heat 107-99. Revenge game. Big, awesome revenge game. We're the Rain and Jays. I am John Corrales of MassLive.com, joined by Samuel Jamison Packard III, also known as Ladies Love Cool Jam. I can't get through those. I just can't. I'm trying to get better at it, but I just can't.
It's weird to whisper. Right now we're the only ones in TD Garden.
This averages out the times where you were in the most horrible construction zones. We are in the garden, surrounded by nothingness. The court is here. The baskets are up. The lights are on. And we are literally the only two people within the Boston Garden.
It's like someone made a mistake.
It really
is. It feels like we shouldn't be here, but we are.
It feels like we should not be here. And I'm sure at some point, somebody might come along and say we have to leave, but not now.
But until that point, we're going to continue rambling.
We are just going to keep on going.
In fact, this is probably the most exciting moment I've had the entire night, because tonight was a pretty boring basketball game.
It was not that exciting. Although Kyrie Irving had a nice night, 26 points. Is it 25 or 26? I keep seeing two different things. 26 points, 10 assists, a career high, 8 steals on the night for Kyrie. The Miami Heat, who cares who led the Miami Heat? I don't care. So, but really this was a case of Boston's starters were a lot better than the Miami starters. And Miami's bench was a lot better than the Celtics bench. After the game, I tried to ask Brad Stevens about the bench disparity. A couple guys talked about it. Their bench is good. They've got some decent players. And our bench had a not so great night. Outscored, I remember this number now, 66-23. I forgot when
you
I was
forgot
asking.
And you just tweeted it out.
Tweeted it out. And then I asked Brad Stevens, and I had the 20, and I forgot what the rest of the number was.
At that point, I don't think anyone's fact-checking you. But, yeah, it was like the quarters couldn't have gone differently. It was the first quarter, all starters, all Celtics, they were up. Second quarter, the bench basically comes in and allows the Heat to get back in the game. Third quarter, the best the Celtics had looked in the entire night, they outscored them, what, 37-18. The ball movement was great, and then the bench comes back in and kind of lets the Heat get back in the game, and then Kyrie's there to bail him out. I think that they got it down to 4 or 5. I think 5 was the closest the Heat got it to in the fourth quarter with about 4 minutes left. Timeout's called. Kyrie comes in the game and basically just has 6 straight points. Just, well, he seemed to be easy layups against Tyler Johnson, and then I think on 2 of them and a few other times. But it was I guess this credit to the Celtics, they never really let the Heat get all the way back into the game. The Heat took a lead 2-0, and then the Celtics led pretty much the rest of the way. But it was, the bench couldn't do anything. They were getting dominated by Derek Jones Jr. and Deion Waiters.
Yeah, I mean, and they were giving up like second chance points. They were turning the ball over. It was just sloppy. And they just weren't doing the little things that you needed to do to finish these plays. And that's, I think, when the Celtics are at their worst, and a lot of times when the bench is at its worst, that's what they're doing. They're not finishing plays, meaning they're playing defense to a point where, okay, they force the miss, but then they don't box out and they give up follow dunks. Then they or they don't track down a loose ball, or they miss a shot on offense and they don't get back. And that's the type of stuff that plagues the Celtics bench, which in the winning streak, the Celtics bench has been a strength. And it's just kind of funny. Recently, we haven't seen much of both the starters and the bench playing well at the same time. There are points in the past few games where the starters came out like crap, and like the Toronto game that started off this win streak. They came out and we're talking about them coming off that losing streak and they need to set the tone. And then in comes Toronto and comes in and torches them. And it's the bench behind Terry Rozier and his defense and Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward. And then as a group tonight, they didn't necessarily come through.
They scored 6 points in the first like 6 minutes of the second quarter. And I was, after the Toronto game, after the other game, I'm completely blanking against who they played, the Hawks, I was ready to come in and praise the bench because I really like the rotation that Brad does. He takes Smart as the first one who comes out, and then he comes back and starts the second quarter, basically him and a full bench unit, which is right now Hayward, Rozier, Aaron Baines, and
Jaylen Brown.
And I'm like, I was ready to type in my notes, man, this bench unit's really going to be a strength of the Celtics, and then he just came out and was not great. Talk about them not finishing plays and then not doing things. Another thing that that just bothered me from their offensive perspective is just they play with no pace. It feels like they're at their best when they're the high energy, high tempo. It starts with Terry Rozier like picking guys up full court and then turning guys around on the full with turnovers and kind of really pushing the pace that way. They just kind of, it felt slow and plodding. And basically, if Kyrie Irving doesn't come in at the end of the quarter and score 8 points, the Heat did come back. It was 50-50 at halftime. But it's just the pace wasn't there at all. And I don't know if it was just the day, like it wasn't a very exciting game, but there was zero energy in the, it basically sounded like it does right now. Cause you could hear the guys on the court. There's no energy in the room. And that's not the best excuse, but just they didn't play with like, they didn't really come tonight. And they're lucky they had Kyrie Irving. I'm just looking back at over the quarters. It was first and third quarters, Kyrie Irving passing the ball, getting five, basically, I think it was 4 assists in the first quarter, 5 assists in the third quarter, and everyone else scoring. That's where Tatum and Horford and Mook basically got all their points. And then it was the end of the second and end of the fourth. It was like, all right, Kyrie needs to score now. And that's where he got 14 of his points. And so it was basically Kyrie dictating the game, whether it be passing or whether it be scoring himself. And it's just lucky because the Heat were, I don't know, they're like not the best team, but they're like solid.
Yeah.
So you can just insert their full bench and it's basically like a starting lineup.
Yeah. Yeah. When you bring in, like Jones, Waiters can get it going. Like Waiters is hot or cold. And when he comes out and he's hot, when you let him get hot, then he'll do this. Well, 8 of 16 shots. So he shot 50% and he had 18 points. That's a good game from Waiters, who's prone to wild swings. So you bring him in, Adebayo can hurt you. Tyler Johnson can hurt you. It's a lot of guys that are equally good. So you can run like 10, 11 deep and there's not a large drop off. There's not significant talent either. That's why they're not great. But when, like you said, like on a night like this where the starters don't have it, you can bring in 5 new guys and they're all about the same level and they can do some damage. From the Celtics side, you know, I think back to your point about the substitution pattern. What Brad Stevens has done now is basically kept Marcus Smart or Kyrie Irving on the floor with Terry Rozier almost all the time, except for a stretch at the beginning of the fourth quarter when it was an all bench unit, and that unit really struggled. But Marcus Smart has been able to kind of quarterback that team, and he's so good at passing and running an offense that allows Terry Rozier to play off the ball. Tonight, I don't think Marcus Smart was, I don't think he had his best game. Aside, I don't want to read off his numbers. I mean, he was a plus 16, but I don't think he had the kind of game you need Marcus Smart to have to allow Terry Rozier to do the stuff that he's been doing over those past few games. I think Terry Rozier might have, and he wasn't in the locker room to ask, but he might have felt the need to try and do more. When he feels that need to do more, sometimes he can struggle and there's a problem. So I just wonder if Marcus Smart, coming off of that fine and whatever set him off against the Atlanta Hawks, maybe he wasn't 100% focused in this game and didn't play his absolute best. So, it's Marcus Smart. He's okay. It's okay for him to have that kind of game. But I think that might have contributed to why the second unit wasn't as effective as it has been in the past.
He was not at his best, and I think also Gordon Hayward was not at his best.
Right.
He's kind of Hayward only played 19 minutes tonight and only took 6 shots. He has these flashes every game where he looks a lot more comfortable, but he's still not attacking, going towards the rim, and he wasn't facilitating as much tonight. I think it, again, has to do with pace, it's like when Marcus and Gordon Hayward are going to have a bad night, they're your main facilitators on the second unit. I think it's a good strategy by Brad. We've seen Terry Rozier be very successful when he plays off ball, and he's not the primary facilitator of the offense. But if those guys are going to have a bad night, there's not much the Celtics do. I thought Jalen continues to just he's not the best finisher, but I just like the fact that he attacks. Like, he's very much catch and go. I thought he had some decent moments. He had a dunk or two here or there. I didn't think he was atrocious, but you look at his stat sheet, he's 3 for 3 of 9. The more he goes up trying to dunk, the more he tries to do fadeaways in the paint. Those are not my favorite shots.
They're not, but you know what? He's actually shot extraordinarily well on fadeaways this season, so I can see why he keeps going back to them. But yeah, I agree that the aggressiveness behind the dunk attempts is what is the important thing, and the fadeaway is sometimes an avoidance of the contact, or avoision, maybe. Avoision. That would be a more appropriate word. But yeah, that's I agree. Okay, let's take a little break here, because when we come back, we still have to talk about Al Horford, who had a fantastic game and an interesting comment afterwards about his minutes, and Brad Stevens thinking that the minutes have a significant issue to do with Al Horford's resurgence, let's call it. We'll talk about that and more when we come back here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. I will read the quote directly from Brad Stevens after the game, who says, quote, "I think Al's played really well on the stretch, and I think it's coincided with an increase in minutes, which I think has been a good thing for all of us, and he feels great. So the whole thing of progressing him through the month of December at the appropriate pace, I think has paid dividends."
I liked your take of it, but can you just read it with a little more kaizen? Please don't reread the quote. That was a goof.
Yeah, okay. Let's I try to put my little spin on the quotes.
No, I'm just being a director and just giving notes.
Notes. I get it. You know, temperamental directors. Al Horford acknowledged afterwards in the locker room that indeed was the case, that the playing the more minutes, he feels better. And we were worried about his knee in December. We were worried that was going to be an ongoing problem, and it actually the opposite. And I think they didn't bring up Aaron Baines. Sorry, kind of lost the ability to speak there. They didn't bring up Aaron Baines, but I think in conjunction with Aaron Baines' return and the increase in the minutes and the ability for Al Horford to play the more minutes, he has played a lot better. And when we thought that Baines' return meant that they could rest Al Horford again, which they might at some point, but it's actually been the opposite, that Baines' return has allowed them to play more Al Horford, and he's been able to play a little bit more freely. And I think that, and I may have mentioned this on a podcast before, I think knowing that Baines is back there means that Al Horford can be more free to defend, because he's not afraid of getting a foul. If he gets 2 quick fouls and has to sit, he knows he's got Baines back there. And that means he's not letting a defender get by and saying, oh, I'm a little out of position, I'm not going to try to challenge this, because if they call a foul on me, we're screwed, because we've got Daniel Tice and Robert Williams back there. Williams, who was inactive tonight, by the way, and may be going to Maine pretty soon. But now that he knows he's got Baines, who can capably handle things with him or in his absence, I think it's allowing him to play that defense that we need Al Horford to play.
Yeah, he played much more aggressive and just was felt bouncier tonight. Finished with 3 blocks and 6 offensive rebounds that I thought were huge. And you're right, the Baines return and what we thought it would be Al Horford less, but really the main impact is like it's no Tyson, it's no Time Lord. As much fun as the Time Lord is, you really want those solid center minutes. But Horford was great tonight and has been damn good his past couple of games. And it's kind of like not the way you would think that more minutes makes his knee feel better, but it could be the type of thing where it's going to hurt no matter what. So why not just like get it out there going? It could just, if you, with less minutes, it could stiffen up. But Horford mentioned that like it wasn't his idea to put you on a minutes restriction, but it clearly feels like it's paying dividends right now. And that's clearly focusing on results. And none of us are medical doctors, but it feels like something that's working out well. And I just thought he was just damn good tonight. His ability to block shots from a standstill, from either like, it's just when people get rebounds and he just comes up over them, he seems to rise a couple more inches than anyone really anticipates. And I feel like I'm surprised every time, but I shouldn't be. He's getting many blocks a game. I don't know about that. We'll fact check that stat later, how many blocks a game he's averaging. But it feels like he gets a many, and they're just coming from standstills on the post, and he's just been a little bit bouncier tonight. He had one, it was kind of a rebound, immediate pass into the corner. It was all in one motion, and it was just like, man, this guy is playing. He's playing some elite level basketball there, because that's kind of awareness and athleticism all combined into a great play. I think Smart missed the three, but it was still a really cool play to see.
Yeah, yeah. It's we've said it a million times. We don't need to keep repeating it, but what the hell. Al Horford playing at this level changes the entire dynamic of the Boston Celtics. Kyrie Irving talked about it after the game, saying how Al Horford kind of answers 911 calls from him, where – first of all, Al spaces the floor. We know that, so Kyrie can cook. But when Kyrie gets into trouble, Al Horford is smart enough to know where to be, what to do with the ball, and he recognizes things. And he's directing those guys defensively behind the play. You need the bigs. The bigs in basketball are the talkers on defense, and they're the ones that set everything up. They're the ones who know what's coming and can see what's coming and say, here's the pick, here's this, here's watch this guy here, whatever. So to have Horford there, who's very smart and adept at being a good defender, and he blocked, what, 3 shots tonight? 12 rebounds overall, 16 and 12. That's a hell of a game from Horford. That really gives the Celtics a security blanket. Not only like he's hitting threes from, like, what was it, against Toronto, we had the pick and pop and he's drilling threes. That's a huge element, but just the passes and just the knowledge that Kyrie can go do his thing. And we talk about Baines making Al Horford feel comfortable to play free, Horford making Kyrie comfortable to go play free, because he knows he can, oh shit, and Horford's going to be exactly where he needs to be. So I think that is a big deal in and of itself.
I thought he was pretty good in the post tonight. He's not the most physical guy. It doesn't seem like he really moves people, but he has such awareness to be able to create space. And so when the Celtics switch, or when teams switch against the Celtics, they can really punish mismatches. And when they don't switch, we saw Kyrie be able to attack a big. Before we get to the Junk and the Jays, I just want to bring up a good night for Jason Tatum.
Yeah, he was bring that up.
8 of 13, which is kind of a return to the more efficient that we saw. 3 of 3 from deep. Didn't really force many shots. He took a couple of mid-ranges, but they were pretty wide open. I thought he had a solid shooting performance, things weren't trending that well in the right direction for Tatum. He had a couple kind of not great performances, so it was just nice to see him get back to form. He actually was going to take a 3, pump faked, sidestepped, did not take a step in, and knocked down the 3. So, danger cart. I know it's frustrating because you know that he can actually do it, so when he doesn't do it, you pull out your hair, but it's nice to see him going through and getting that success.
If he's at least sidestepping and taking a 3, I can live with that. I've come to the conclusion that he really needs to start leaning into those and getting 3 free throws, but I'll take the sidestep 3 before the two and deal with it. That's fine with me. I also want to acknowledge Marcus Morris, who had a decent game. He did a lot of his damage early, but I think Mook's been struggling a little bit lately, and it's taken this long for him to hit a little bit of a lull, which he has, but 17 points for him in this game on 6 of 11 shooting, 2 of 7. He hit those two, I think he hit the two threes early.
And he opened the game.
As far as, yeah, and so when the Celtics put on that big first quarter run, he was a big part of that. Kind of tailed off a little bit, but still, got to acknowledge Mook kind of struggling a little bit through this part of the schedule, but at least the Celtics are winning while he's doing it. So, but it's been nice to see him score a little bit. Any other acknowledgments before we take a break and come back with junk and tweets?
No.
I think none. That's it, right?
None.
All right. So now, then, a break. And then we come back with junk and tweets. Every game we ask you to tweet us with the Rain and Jays or the Rain and Junk hashtags. That's R-A-I-N-I-N-J-S, Rain and Jays or Rain and Junk. Hit us up on Twitter. Bonus for the people who are on Instagram. Every once in a while we'll pop on the Instagram live. So we're on the Locked On Celtics Instagram for a live broadcast of this segment. So let's hit the tweets, starting with @Costello. So we're all in agreement. Mook signs the Baines discount contract. 2 years, $10 million. Thank you. Moving on.
Sure.
Yeah. That's great. That's great for us. Not great for Mook. I think $10 million is not even close to what he's going to get starting out in free agency.
No, people have money to spend. People are going to strike out on the big free agents. Then they're going to strike out on Chris Middleton-level free agents. And then Mook's going to make $15 million a year next year.
Yeah, I agree. So moving on. It's a great thought, though. @Rifesy, Kyrie going for the triple-double with steals tonight. Very ambitious. We didn't talk enough about Kyrie's steals. And I think one important point that Brad made was that a lot of the steals were because he was in good position. And it's not just, like, anybody can go out and get steals. It's not the best indicator of a good defender. But certain types of steals are, and I think the point that Brad Stevens was making was that when Kyrie is in good position, good defensive position to make the play, and he gets his hand on the ball and he makes the steal, that's good defense, as opposed to somebody who's just gambling and every once in a while you come up with a steal, but you're gambling and you miss, and 2 times out of 10 you're coming up with a steal, but 8 times you're out of position. The positioning for Kyrie Irving was very good, and that's why they forced a lot of turnovers. The Celtics in the first quarter, I don't remember exactly, I think they had 11 points off turnovers in the first quarter, which was very important to them coming out to that 11
points off 7 turnovers.
There it is. Yeah, some numbers.
You must do this professionally.
So very important to get those and to force those turnovers. Get out and run. Put pressure on the opposition. But again, Kyrie, just every day we give him that, just a little bit more credit for the defense. He's been focused on that this season. And again, in the form of 8 steals, a career high, 8 steals, which is also Marcus Smart's career high, wildly enough. It was just a hell of a defensive night for him as well.
I thought he just did a great job swiping off guys coming in the post. But it's also some of it has to do with the Heat just making some bad passes and he being fortunate to be the one who, like, a Heat player dribbles it off his foot or makes a bad pass and he's the one who comes up with it. But that's how you get from, like, 5 to 8. But he was just there all night and just maximum effort on the defensive end, which we've seen from him all season.
Moving on, Ari Feingersch. I think Kyrie's rebounding has gone underappreciated this year. He's a career high in rebounds per game. It's another effort-based thing. And Kyrie,
especially on the offensive glass.
Yeah, Kyrie, what did he have tonight? Did he have offensive rebounds tonight? No, but he has been active on the offensive glass. And I think the ultimate thing for Kyrie Irving is that he's giving forth the effort. And he's admitted in the past he has skated. This year, he's not. And we're seeing how good he can be if he puts forth the effort. So some people might say, oh, it's sad that we're giving a guy credit for trying when he hadn't been trying.
Not everyone tries.
Not everyone tries.
And it's a skill.
This is true. At Maddie B 0814, that ball movement at the end of the third quarter equals erotic city. Very erotic. That ball movement.
I mean,
it was
great ball movement, but just given the lack of energy in the building tonight, it was hard to really like get out. The Celtics went on like a 32-7 run, and it was just like, ho hum, this is what happens in the fourth, or this is what happens. It was a weird energy in the building. I wouldn't declare it full erotic city. But I would say that's mildly arousing village.
Mildly arousing village. Okay, fine. And let's see. Hayward, this from at, was this Commander Matt Decker? Hayward and yet another funk. He's got to start earning his playing time soon. I'm not going down that road with Hayward. Yes, it's frustrating from just watching it. It's also frustrating for him, I'm sure, and I'm still in camp. Give Hayward more time because I've just seen the stretches, I've seen the flashes, I've seen the progression. Certain things that he's doing each time he goes out and has one of those good games, he adds one more thing that he hasn't done in the past. I personally think the All-Star break is going to be good for him. I think he needs that mental break, and I think he needs to come back with a renewed focus. He also needs to have this baby.
Oh yeah.
I think they just need to have this baby and get it done with. So that's my...
Have a baby, you can.
I didn't mean to actually yell at his wife for not having the baby yet.
Just give birth already. Come on.
Come on. What are you waiting for?
That's a perfect transition into Raining Junk. So again, at Rifesy, Spoelstra should be fined for giving Olynyk a DNP at the Garden. Inexcusable.
That really is, man.
No burn for Kelly Olynyk. And like... You tell me he's, like, I guess Derek Jones Jr. was pretty great tonight, but you're paying him $15 million a year. Like, let the people see the gazelle out there playing some great positional defense. Like, what? It's just, it makes no sense.
I almost did an actual spit take on Instagram Live.
All right. There are not many Raining Junks, things we've already covered, but shouts to Elios Blancos and Master Chief for their tweets. But Rain and Junk, I'm just going to get right into mine tonight. I don't know if you were here for the anthem singer, but he had the over. You know how in the Super Bowl they do prop bets?
Yes.
Man, he was sassing it. He really was putting on a show.
Was he like Bleeding Gums Murphy?
He was pretty much, but except without the talent. but he was really, it was really trying to make it about him. And I appreciate that because normally the anthems are quite boring. But that was, it was interesting. That's all I ask for.
I want to shout out D-Fish on Instagram Live. They keep the TD Garden lights on just for you guys. I'd like to think it's just for us, but it's not. We're literally, it's empty here. Let's see if I can flip this around. Go ahead. Keep going, Junk. I'm going to show people on the Instagram Live how empty it is around here.
All right. At one point, Aaron Baines shot an end of the clock, three that was an air ball. No. Aaron Baines got a backcourt violation, and then he picked up the ball and just kind of shot it. And it was an air ball, and it went right to the ref. And he was called for a delay of game. And this is according to crack reporter Jay King. Apparently, Kyrie Irving tried to argue with multiple refs that because the air ball went directly to the referee, it shouldn't have been a delay of game, which I just think is fantastic. Yeah. The whole sequence was hilarious.
That was pretty funny. That was just basically a half-court shot. It did land right in the referee's hands.
It was a perfect shot. Maybe he did it on purpose. James Johnson, this is just an oddity tonight, managed to pick up a loose ball foul on a shot that he took and went in.
I've never seen that before.
It bounced on the rim and went like up, so he kind of went for the effort for the rebound, but then didn't end up tipping it, got called for a loose ball foul, and then the ball went in. That was weird. Probably the most disgusting moment of the entire night came in 5:50 in the first quarter. One Dwayne Wade checked in, and there were cheers.
What is that?
I didn't understand it at all.
I'm shocked and appalled by this.
And then he got cheers later in the game for when he was scoring. I think there was like a lot of select like Dwayne Wade fans in the crowd.
Maybe.
Like, I saw a lot of Wade jerseys, but like I get cheering Dirk. That's like a basketball legend. But to act like there's no history between Dwayne Wade and the Celtics, it's just – it was frankly appalling, and I didn't care for it. He even got MVP chants – from a few people while he was at the line.
I didn't hear that. I heard somebody said that, but
Crack
I was
reporter Jay King said that, so I don't know what to believe at this point, but it was disgusting.
That's bad.
Speaking of Aaron Baines, he had, with no regard for his own life, a consecutive sequence where he just stuffed Bam Adebayo, and then came right back down, and Derek Jones Jr. Dunked it right in his face. But I just love his willingness to get murdered. It's fantastic stuff.
What about Bam Adebayo being at the center of highlight blocks in consecutive games with the Boston Celtics? Marcus Smart in Miami stuffing him at the rim, and then now Aaron Baines stuffing him at the rim. I mean, he's gonna be a little sick of trying to dunk on these guys and not getting through.
Yeah, it's not fun to be blocked by a guy who's 6 inches shorter than you, and then by a white guy you want to murder. At one point, someone threw threw a bad pass, and the ball went about like 6 rows up behind the Celtics bench,
mm-hmm.
and the guy throwing it back barely made it back onto the court. And I'm pretty sure Brad turned around and was like, "Come on, bub,
yeah,
you got to throw a better pass than that." So I was like, "You got to," and he was making some hand motion like. That was terrible.
Yeah.
And I love Brad criticism of the crowd because it really was a horrendous pass. And he shows it's just his coaching knows no limits. One thing we haven't talked about tonight was the Kyrie sexiness of his passing. He was throwing fancy passes
spicy.
Left and right.
Very spicy passes.
One through the legs to Marcus Smart for a three, and then they're just like casual behind the back for Mook three. I like when he's this kind of, there's like the FU Kyrie three, but I like the FU Kyrie assist. Like, where he's just doing fancy stuff seemingly for no reason. I'm all for flexing like that.
I liked, what was your tweet? Kyrie's game is...
It's like a China shop, because there's all sorts of fancy dishes tonight.
I like that tweet.
I was actually, my brother texted me that, and I stole it for a tweet. to finish off, Mook talked to Amanda Plufgrad?
Flugrad.
Flugrad? There's a P in there. It's very confusing.
Yeah.
After the game, and she asked him... What was the key to the Celtics' success at home? And he just said, it's a secret.
Yeah, that was kind of funny.
That's fantastic.
That was kind of
and
funny.
And then he, I think after the game on NBC Sports Boston, said hey, he wants to be in the three-point contest. And the man is shooting 43% from the field from three-point land, so we need to get Mook in contest.
Get Mook into the contest. Let Mook shoot a three, you cowards.
NBA. Send the man to Charlotte, where everyone wants to go for a weekend in February.
My only addition to the junk drawer is, what the hell is up with all the air balls between these teams?
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit. Like, the game in Miami, there are a million air balls. And we're like, wow, that's so weird that there were so many air balls. And then in the first half, there were like another 6 or 7 air balls, it felt like. I don't understand why these two teams combined to be so horrifically bad at getting the ball in the basket.
It makes no sense. And I'm sorry, real late addition for the Raining Junk from Comrade Heinsohn. Celtics win percentage is now 617, which is kind of nice. That's the most stretch in the world, but I love how, like, you're a full 7.72 percentage points away from a 69 winning percentage.
Almost. But it is the 617 area code.
Oh,
which is nice.
I didn't even get that. I thought it was, like, I heard the word nice, and I was like, this is a poorly crafted 69 joke.
I know you're going for that. I'm thinking he's going with the area code.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense. I'm sorry to drag your name through the mud, Comrade Heinz.
I'm sure the apology is accepted.
I would hope.
All right, that's it. Let's wrap that thing up here. From the big cavernous empty garden, I did see one other person walking around. I assume he's an employee.
Or he could just be like us.
Or he could just be like a person who just stuck around and never made it out the stairs. But the Boston Celtics beat the Miami Heat 107-99. It is their fourth win in a row? Yeah, fourth win in a row. Their ninth straight home win, making this the longest home winning streak since the 2015-16 season. Celtics improved to 18-5 at the Garden. Next up, it's the Cleveland Cavaliers, and then over the weekend, the Golden State Warriors come into town, so it's going to be a fun week. That's the show. We hope that you have enjoyed it. We hope that you are going to become a new subscriber if you are not a subscriber yet. We hope that you subscribers have given us a 5-star rating, a good written review. It really helps us out. And I hope you share the podcast, spread the word, tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah. Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked On Celtics.